1 Kings 11. So, we looked at Saul for 11 weeks, David for 19 weeks, and now this is our sixth week to look at Solomon, and final. So, of the three kings, how long did each of them rule? Anybody remember?
About 40 years.
Okay. So, 40 years each. 40 years Saul, 40 years David, 40 years Solomon. And why would it be that, and we'll review it here in a moment, even though Solomon had the most riches, the most power, the most earthly honor, and the most wisdom, why is it that his study is the shortest of the three? Any thoughts on that? What's that? He asked God for wisdom, but why would his study be the shortest, Brent?
Disobedience.
Yep, that's where we are today. All that wisdom, and yet, 1 Kings 11, 1. The first word says it all, doesn't it? But King Solomon loved many strange women. So we'll pray, we'll get started. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for all that we've learned from these men. I pray, Lord, that it would continue to work in our hearts, that we would strive to be after your own heart, as David was, and strive to seek the wisdom of Solomon in your precious word. But, Lord, also to learn the consequences of sin in our walk. And I pray, Lord, that even today the Holy Spirit would use the word in our hearts to teach us and grow us. And we give you this service. Pray you'll be glorified in it. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. So, last week we saw the fire come down from heaven, burn up the sacrifices. We saw the presence of God move into the temple that Solomon had built. We reviewed all of the prosperity that he had. Literally in today's money's billions of dollars worth of treasures, gold, silver, and so forth. The temple itself worth billions of dollars, everything covered in pure gold. And to top it off, he was the wisest man on earth. We read that in chapter 4. Turn there quickly. We'll review it again. Mr. Scott, 1 Kings 4, read 29 to 32 if you would. 1 Kings 4, 29 to 32.
God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceedingly much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men, than Ethan and Jezer of Mizraim, Eman, Chalcol, and Dara, the son of Machir, and his fame was all nations round about, and he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005, and he spake of trees from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop of the splintered out of the wall, and spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, of all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom.
Did you see verse 31? Wiser than all men. And even mention people of the East. People often think the Bible leaves out the East. It doesn't. Yes, China was in existence back then. He was even wiser than all the Chinese. That's what it says. So he had all this wisdom. We saw last week the Queen of Sheba come, a very famous queen at the time, wealthy in and of herself, and yet she said the half has not been told. It's ended up in one of our hymns, didn't it? The half has not yet been told. She was so amazed at how happy his servants were and just the riches. And then she asked him questions and the wisdom that he had. So all these amazing things that God did. Remember when he offered Solomon whatever he wanted in that dream. And Solomon said, give me wisdom. And God said, because you didn't ask for riches, I'm going to give you riches. And because you didn't ask for honor, I'm going to give you honor. And he did. But one thing he said was, you didn't ask for long life, but that's conditional. Anybody remember what it was conditional on? The long life. James?
Obedience.
Exactly. So that brings us to 1 Kings 11. That was a quick review. It says he loved many strange women here in verse 1. 6% of the book of Proverbs is about the strange woman. That's a pretty big chunk. So Solomon understood the issue, but he didn't follow his own advice, did he? So in verse 2, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them. So God had already commanded Israel over and over again not to intermingle with the Gentile nations. Solomon clave unto these in love. And then verses 3 and 4 tells us how many wives and concubines he had. Howard, if you could read those two verses for us.
And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 500 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father.
700 wives, 300 concubines. It's hard for us to even imagine how that's even possible, isn't it? 700 wives. They all had to have a place to live. They all had to have whatever. It's just the mind boggles. So obviously Solomon was wealthy. If you can take care of 1,000 women, imagine that. You know, but these were strange women. We read that up there in verse 1. These were not Jews. These were from these nations that God said, no, you will not go in unto them. And what did they do? They led his heart astray. Verse 5, he went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Verse 6, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. Then he built an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto other gods. All his strange wives. And the majority of his 700 wives were strange wives. By strange, you know, I thought about that word strange. You know, usually when we read Proverbs, we read about the strange woman, we automatically think prostitute, right? But in this context, that's not what it's talking about, is it? What is the context here when it says he loved many strange women? Does that mean they were weird? In our usage today of strange? No. What does it mean by strange women, Beryl? Exactly. It's Gentiles. The Jews have been commanded not to intermingle with these Gentile nations when they were given the promised land. Remember, Balaam said, that's the only way you're going to beat these people. I can't curse them. So just go down and intermingle with them. And God had to punish them. And that became a thorn in their side for centuries. So that by strange is talking about these from these nations that God said, you are not allowed to intermingle with these nations. These are the people that God, that Solomon married, the women that Solomon married. So what was God's response to Brent 9 and 10, if you would?
And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded.
He appeared unto him twice. So can anybody recall the two times that God appeared unto Solomon? So the first one was what? We mentioned it earlier. Come on, wake up. What was the first time he appeared to Solomon?
In a dream.
Thank you, Marguerite. Somebody was paying attention. In a dream. And in that dream, he offered him, as we talked earlier, whatever he wanted, and he asked for wisdom. Then the second time was at the temple, remember? And just after the dedication of the temple, he appeared unto him and also gave him that very famous verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14, Many people refer to it as the revival verse. If my people were to call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Because Solomon said, Lord, if my people turn from you and you take them into captivity, will you bring them back if they repent? And God said he would. So he appeared to him the two times and commanded him this thing. The first commandment given to God's people Israel was what? We just went through the commandments in Sunday night Exodus study. What's the first commandment? Beryl? That's right, no other gods. And that's the commandment that Solomon broke. He loved many strange women. They turned his heart away. He set up all these places to worship all these false gods. And the Lord was angry. So 11 to 13 is his punishment, Philip.
Wherefore the Lord sent unto Solomon, for as much as this has done unto thee, has not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in my days, I will not do it for David, thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake, and for his servant's sake, which I have chosen.
So still going back to David. Solomon has ruled for over 30 years now, and he's still going back and saying, I am going to punish you, but I'm going to save your punishment for your son because of David. Isn't that amazing? David definitely had a place in God's heart, didn't he? He was that man after God's own heart. He said, I'm going to hold off the punishment until your son. But I am going to rend the kingdom. And of course, we know this is what happened. Jeroboam, Rehoboam. And then they were divided for centuries. So then God raised up an adversary in verses 23 to 25. Roy, are you here? Yes, you are. Could you read that?
And God stirred him up another adversary, Rezon, the son of Eliada, which fled on his lord Hadadezer, king of Zobah. He gathered men unto him, became captain over a band. And David slew them of Zobah, and they went to Damascus and dwelt there in the reign of Damascus. He was an adversary of Israel all the days of Solomon, the desire of mischief that Hadad did. And he abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria.
So there's been peace up to now. But the chastisement begins. Back to wars again with these Gentile nations. And then we have this man named Jeroboam. He wasn't a descendant of Solomon. He was Solomon's servant. And he didn't randomly decide to rebel. God actually chose him to rebel against Solomon. Now, he did have a cause to rise up against Solomon. And that's here in verses 26 down through 29. So, Mark, could you read that for us?
And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Impetrite of Zerida, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Milo and repaired the breaches of the city of David his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. And it came to pass at the time when Jeroboam went up to Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah and Shilonite found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment, and the two were alone in the field.
So this prophet comes to him, verse 30, caught the new garment and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take the 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord God, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. To not even a descendant of David, but a servant of Solomon. And, of course, they stayed divided for a very long time. Basically, it was called Judah and Israel. And Solomon's son, Rehoboam, ruled the single tribe. And that's verse 32. He shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I've chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Why all of this punishment? James 33 and 30-35.
Because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes, and to keep my statutes and my judgments, as did David his father. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life for David my servant's sake, whom I chose, because he kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and give it unto thee, even 10 tribes.
Amen. And verse 36, sorry.
And unto his son will I give one tribe, that David my servant may have the lights always before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen me to put my name in.
Amen. So this is God's instructions to Jeroboam, the servant of Solomon. This is the chastisement that will fall upon the entire nation of Israel because of the sin of their king, Solomon. Think about that. And think about in the coming centuries how many Jews are going to die with all the civil wars they're going to face, with all the wars they're going to have with outside enemies, because Solomon chose to lead the nation to worship all these false gods. I'm sure that we can't even count. I'm sure it's in the millions. Are going to die because of Solomon's decision to marry all these strange women and then lead the nation to worship their gods. How sad. So he gives instructions. Verse 37, and I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shalt be king over Israel. This is the prophet, God through speaking through the prophet directly to Jeroboam. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and wilt walk in my ways, and do that which is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did. There's David again. Then I will be with thee, and I will build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. And I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever. Look at Solomon's response, verse 40. Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam. Sound familiar? Remember Saul? And Jeroboam arose and fled into Egypt unto Shishak, king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. Such a fast decline. And that's 41-43, Brandon. And that is the story of Solomon. We talked about the book of Proverbs and the 20 topics, primary topics of Proverbs. God gave him that amazing wisdom. Praise God for Proverbs and all that it teaches us. But there's a but. 1 Kings 11:1. So thoughts or questions as we conclude our study of the first three kings of Israel? I've been at this about 6 months. It's been a great study. Did you learn anything? What'd you learn, Kelvin? That much, huh?
Stuff that he did wrong, God still honored him for having the right path with him back to
Amen. Psalm 51, one of the most beautiful psalms in the Bible, after maybe 23. I wouldn't even want to count how many times I've counseled people to go and read that on their knees every day when they have had a sin in their life and want to come back to God. It's just beautiful. And that was the psalm David wrote after his sin with Bathsheba and then being caught out by Nathan. Anybody else? What'd you learn? Anything? Or in what way was it a blessing to your heart? Before we close out this study, Brent?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of weeks ago you showed us the references to that oracle. I kind of got messed up between that and the ark, so it was really good to talk about that stage I think you were talking about, and it's like, you know, 20 cubits that way. My question, Pastor, is just you talked in verse 33 about why all this punishment? And, you know, that's a common question, isn't it, with a lot of unsaved people, why does God allow all this suffering? And so the answer, as you say, was that it affects other people because of somebody's sin along the way.
Yeah, our sin affects others. Absolutely. Our sin affects those around us. But God holds leaders accountable. God raises up leaders, but then he holds them accountable, doesn't he? That's huge. All these people are going to suffer because of Solomon's sin. How sad. Anybody else? Brother Mark?
Yeah. I mean, Solomon, the wisest man, I'm not trying to judge him, but I'm just trying to sort of a disconnect between being a wise and a half king. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I suppose in today's world, we're all looking for intelligence and so forth, but the heart condition is not right. You can still be the wisest man and still follow your own, I suppose.
Good point.
Desires and the sense. Yeah, it's there's sort of like a bit of a disconnect, you know what I mean?
That's a huge disconnect.
Yeah, yeah.
He had all this wisdom,
but
his heart went after strange women. And remember, David had at least 20 wives and concubines. Let's not forget this. God allowed it. God didn't endorse it, but God allowed it. But obviously David had a weakness there. That's what led to his sin. Remember? Adultery, murder. But obviously that weakness was compounded in his son. 20 and 1,000, that's a pretty big compounding. Anybody else? Mark?
Just shows you the importance of obedience.
Amen.
God puts all those things in place in his word to protect us and to look after us. And he knows what's best for us because he's our designer. Just like a designer of anything, they know what's best. And we need to choose wisely every day the choices we make, because we can choose the sin, but we can't choose the consequence.
Yes. And as God said, chastisement is a part of being a Christian, isn't it? He tells us in Hebrews 12, all of his children will face chastisement along the way. And we have that short little list of commandments that we need to obey, about 150 of them in the New Testament. It's up to us to have we have the responsibility to know what they are and to obey them. Amen? And if we choose to disobey them, as we talked about at the revival, then we are choosing to say to God, I don't love you. Because love is obedience. And obedience is love when it comes to God. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Just, you've already said it, but there's always consequences for being disobedient. And being keeping with.
That's right. So deal with the sin instantly as a Christian. If we confess our sins, amen, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Anyone else? Yes, brother.
I didn't sit through the last 6 months of your lessons, but in the short time that I've listened, God is always long-suffering and gracious, and in the plan of God, the cross of Jesus Christ was where that sin will be dealt with, And for us, we look in the Bible, we see the great men of God, and they all did things wrong, as we do as well. But the cross of Christ has taken care of that. And that's why I say it's the long suffering of God, because he knew in time to come that that would be dealt with.
Yes, if you could have chosen what age to be born in, this would be the one. Amen? The church age. Not under the law, but under grace. Praise God. Anybody else? Before we close, so we don't need the projector today. Thank you, Roy, for helping me set it up. We'll dive in next week. Anyone? Well, it's all about learning, and hopefully we've learned heaps from these three men. How to behave, how not to behave, how God holds us accountable to obey his commands, and how God holds leaders accountable to lead God's people to obey God's commands. Amen.